From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Delighted to welcome back to John Hannam Meets, someone that's been on my show just a few times, the wonderful Daniel O'Donnell.
Hi, John. Good to see you again.
Always good to see you. And you're sort of on the eve of a British tour, which is coming up soon.
That's right. We start on the 1st of October in Liverpool, and we're going all around. We finish in Glasgow on the 14th of October, and we're in a number of places in between: Portsmouth, Cambridge, Cardiff. You probably know them all better. Stoke,
at
Wimbledon,
the end, I'm going to
all the
list
places,
them all.
Yeah.
Is that I know you're coming to Portsmouth, yeah, which is very close to us. That's on October the 9th, but I'll give all the concerts. And you've got a new album coming out in November.
That's right, yeah.
Walking in the Moonlight.
That's right. That's the title track, and it's a single. I love the song. When I got it, I loved it. First time I heard it, and I thought this should be a single, so that's what we did. It's a single. Hopefully it'll be released here in the UK. Excuse me, it's going to be a single in Ireland anyway.
When you met Magella, did you walk in the moonlight?
Walked in the moonlight and the sunlight and every light. Absolutely.
We go back a long, long way. Last time we met was at Wise Buddha in London, 2015.
That's right.
And you had come sort of hot foot from Strictly Come Dancing.
Hot foot would be the way to put it.
Yes.
Or maybe no foot at all.
I want to ask you, in hindsight, still a good idea?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I mean, I was terrified doing it. There's no point in me pretending. I was absolutely, beside myself doing it. And I can't quite figure that one out. You know, because I shouldn't really have been so nervous, but I was. But, you know, the glitz and the glamour and the razzmatazz, and just, I mean, last night I met Ewan, you know, because we were down this area, we met, and we were on then to the others on WhatsApp. It was a great connection with people that I would never have met. I've been aware of most of the people in our year. But I would never have touched their lives, or they would never have entered into mine, only for Strictly. And
it broadened your appeal.
Oh, absolutely. And Carol and Jeremy and Ewan and all of them, you know, you feel a connection. I mean, I watch EastEnders and, you know, I see Kelly and I think how good she is acting. And, you know, it's amazing that you know people that you would not have known before, and for Strictly, I'm very grateful for that. But the whole atmosphere of it and the opportunity, and, you know, I was saying to them before the show started, I says, we're one of 15 people of this year, 15 out of what could be thousands of people wanting to be here. So we're very fortunate.
You also had done a TV quiz, but you weren't allowed to tell me if you won or not.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I think we did
win.
We
did. We won. We got 30,000 for my wife's charity, the Donegal Mind Wellness, on Family Fortunes. And that was, that was terrific. I can't believe we got all that money, because the charity is small, and it's Magella set it up to help people that suffer from depression, and it does 6-week courses just to help people cope with stress. And it was the 30,000 was a huge benefit to them. You know, she raises money all the time, and we do things to keep it going, you know, but that was a huge boost.
And she recovered from breast cancer, so
she's
a
good.
Wonderful story.
She's good, yeah. She's 5 years now past her diagnosis, and she had her treatment then, sort of that up until Christmas that year. So thank God everything's good.
She opened, officially opened, a centre for cancer relief,
That's right, the ARC Centre, and just recently, is that the one recently that she opened? Down in Youghal and County Cork, Waterford border. And every so often, you know, she gets invited to do things. I suppose she's very well known in Ireland, you know. And it helps when somebody that's well known and has gone through, I suppose, what a lot of the people who will use the facilities is going through and will go through. So they have a connection with her.
Daniel and Magella's bed and breakfast road trip.
I know. And it has been such an amazing success in Ireland, these shows. We have three series done, and they're 6 half-hours each series. And we visit bed and breakfast houses. We stay in them, and we don't know where we're going until the day of the show. We don't know who we're going to meet. We don't know what we're going to do. And people just have really taken to it. In September now, we are going to America to do an RV road trip. Now, what that'll be like, I don't know.
Is that in a camper van?
That's the way it's going to be. I don't know how big the camper van will be or how small or what we'll do, but we're going to do it and see how it goes.
Daniel, are you sort of a handyman indoors?
Quick answer to that, no.
So when you're on this road trip in America, if you have a problem, you might have a problem.
Whatever the AA is in America, we'll be calling them. Or the RAC, whatever the equivalent is.
When you did the Irish version, I know sort of about half the population watched it, that watched TV, didn't they?
Yeah,
fantastic.
It was very,
figures.
Very amazing. Amazing figures for the show. And I mean, it's only us just being ourselves. You know, we forget sometimes the cameras are there and we have an odd heated discussion, you know.
You don't.
Not heated discussion, yeah.
I'm pleased to hear that. Did you have any really terrible experiences, sort of bed and breakfast, that you wouldn't go back
to? No, they were all lovely. And we weren't critiquing them, you know. We were just going to experience the atmosphere, experience the warmth of the people, and just show people what Ireland was like, you know. And there are negotiations now with public television in America. They are going to run some of the shows. It's a great postcard for tourism.
Tom O'Connor, who you know well, I know, he came to the Isle of Wight and had to go to interview him, and they were staying in this sort of come bed and breakfast and a small place, and I went there. It wasn't very good, and they didn't stay.
Oh dear. Oh,
well, so that had been filmed.
We had none of that, yeah.
So when you go to America's camper van, it's going to be going back almost to our early days, touring in a van.
Yeah, absolutely. But we'll enjoy it, you know, it'll be good fun. I mean, we will meet people along the way. This is all part of it. And the company are putting the show together. They sent out, I've done interviews on radios in America and different things, so that people then would send in ideas to the TV company. So they will have it all planned of where we go and what we do and who we see and who we meet. And I can tell you very little about it, but all will be revealed.
I think you're going to Chicago, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, to name just a few.
That's the area. We're starting in Chicago and we finish in North Dakota. We're doing a show at Husfest. It's a Scandinavian Norwegian festival that takes place there every year. And we've done it a lot of times. And we know we're finishing there. That's the last part of the program. It's 3 one-hour shows as opposed to 6 half-hours. So we'll have to see how it goes.
So you don't sing in the programs, or?
Occasionally. Depends where we are. Maybe one night we'll go somewhere where there's music and maybe I'll sing a song, or Magella might sing, or somebody else might sing. It's all very, very casual.
Put that light out!
I'm trying to relax and listen to John Hannum.
Daniel, you've had so much success in recent years. Well, right through your career. You had a sort of very humble early life, because I love reading your book and stories of growing up in Ireland. That sort of humble beginning, has that made you more appreciative of when you've enjoyed success, really?
I think, you know, it has. I think where I live and where I was brought up was a big part to play in how I approach things in life, you know. And I feel very blessed and fortunate to get to do what I do. And I don't feel in any way, I hope, elevated by success. I just feel very lucky that I've been allowed to have the career, to have enjoyed it, and to still enjoy it. It's a long time. You know, that's what's, I suppose, the most incredible thing about the whole thing, is that how long it has lasted, how long people have supported what I do.
You've been sort of satired by various artists and DJs. You must love that, because it's all good for you.
And you know, it's amazing, really, because it's kind of strange to hear. I remember Father Ted.
Yes.
They had something on one time. And in Ireland, almost every morning there's a program on radio. And they have somebody that takes me off. I have a very distinctive voice, apparently. And, you know, they take it off. And it's not outrageous, but they stretch it to the nth degree, you know what I mean? What they exaggerate everything, so it's very funny.
It's flattery in a way,
isn't it? It is. I think it's amazing that even when I'm listening to the radio and somebody, if they play a record and they say, that was Daniel at home, they don't even say my name. And that's quite...
That's fame for you.
Quite strange.
I love the story of in 83 when you, you know, you didn't have a lot of money, you didn't have much success, you coughed up 1,200 of your own money to make an album. And here we are now, you've had an album in the hit charts for 30 years consecutive. So you never expected to have this sort of success, did you?
No. I don't know that anybody really could. I would imagine anybody that's successful, whether they're more successful than me or as successful or even a bit less successful. I don't think you ever expect, you hope that you'll do okay. I just wanted to make a living and be fulfilled. And I knew I would be fulfilled if I could, you know, spend my life singing. But never could I have imagined that I would get to do the things that I did, travel the places that I did, and, you know, that thousands of people would come to shows. It's amazing.
As we speak, in a couple of days, you're meeting someone really famous, aren't you?
Well, I don't know if I'll meet him, but I'll certainly be in his presence. Pope Francis is coming to Ireland, and a lot of singers have been asked to perform at a concert, and he will be present. It's part of the World Meeting of Families within the Catholic Church. That's Saturday, and Sunday then there's a mass in the Phoenix Park. The concert takes place in Croke Park, where the Gaelic and football and hurling takes place. And they have concerts there too occasionally. And then Sunday is the Mass. Now, I'm not singing at the Mass, but I'm singing before the Mass as well for 15 minutes. It's a great privilege, there's no doubt.
I know, in a way, you're a bit starstruck, because in your life, you've met some of your favourite people, haven't you? Who are the sort of people you've really love meeting and just chatting to, really?
Well, you know, I always admired Cliff, and I love Loretta Lynn. She's my favourite of all singers, and Charlie Pride. And, you know, I've got to know these people. I mean, we know Cliff very well. You know, that Cliff is the one that we've got to know best. And he's just a great individual, you know. And I'm so grateful that, you know, all his trouble is over. I'm not saying that it'll ever be past, because when something like that happens, it leaves a mark, you know, on... It has to, but at least there's some vindication in what happened. So I hope that he's able to go forward, you know, just as I sent him a message recently and just said, you know, I hope you're able to live life to the full and go forward, you know, and enjoy. Loretta, I got to meet, and I'm hoping to go to visit her. She's not very well. She had a stroke about over a year ago, and she broke her hip then in January. But she's great on the phone. I spoke to her about a week ago, and she sounds very well, you know, so I haven't seen her since she became ill. So hopefully in October, November, I'll get a visit with her. And I'll travel to Nashville while I'm in America. And Charlie Pride, I've seen recently, he came over to guest on a show that I present for the Irish TG Cahir or TG4 called Opry with Daniel. And he was there, and he was magnificent.
Just released a new album,
I think. He has, and it's excellent.
So you've had a break from touring. That was deliberate, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
we took a break after Magella's treatment. We took 18 months. That was a period, I suppose, even though I was off, I did Strictly in that time. And we recorded the first B&B road trip, Magella and I, at that period. But we had a great time. We took a cruise for 4 months. We went on a cruise. And it was just a kind of a celebratory thing that she had got through her treatment and everything was in the past. So enjoyed the break, and I've really been busy since I came back. So I'm hoping maybe in the not too distant future to take a wee bit more time off again.
You don't sort of have a fast car outside the theatre like some stars do, and before the audience have left, that they're miles away from the building, because you sort of stay for hours, don't you?
Well, I enjoy meeting people, you know. That's always been a part of what I enjoyed in relation to what I do. And I've got to know an awful lot of people, you know. A lot of the people that have come to the shows, I've got to know, and it really does make it a lot more rewarding, you know, when you stand out on stage and you look out and you can recognise people, faces and names.
Do you have to lock up the theatres yourself some nights or not?
I'm sure some of the theatre people are thinking, would he ever just go? But it's part of what I enjoy.
In my life, I've seen roadies signing autographs and things like that, which have really upset me. And you're completely different, aren't you? Because you love the fans and they love meeting you. And
well, they have allowed me to have a great life, you know. And I don't do it because of that. I genuinely enjoy it. And I also do realise, for whatever reason, you can really give people joy, you know, and that's a very privileged position. Even somebody that's gone through a bad time, it won't take away anything that they're going through, but for a few minutes, it makes a difference. You know, I think if everybody that's in the position that I'm in knew what it could do for people, I think they would all do it.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to John Hannam Moots.
Still want to be in Coronation Street?
I do. I do. I don't know who else. I thought I'd have an affair with somebody, but they're all too young now, you know.
You've been a fan for a long time, haven't you?
Yes, yes, I have always enjoyed it.
Got favourite characters over the years, or not really?
Ah, well, I had. I mean, you can't but go back in your memory and look at people like, you know, Vera and Jack and Stan and you know, Hilda and all the people. I mean, I go back to Ina Sharples and Minnie Caldwell sitting in the snug, you know, with the pints of, or the half pints of stout, and Albert, and, you know, so when you can go back that far and come forward to now, it's been a terrific show and still is. You know, the younger ones are a really good. What I find about Coronation Street is that in the worst situation, somebody will get a laugh, and that's very difficult, and to do it sensitively, you know, and they seem to be able to do that.
So what other soaps do you watch?
Well, I'd watch bits of EastEnders too, and Emmerdale, you know, but Corey has always been my favourite. But the others are great too.
I was lucky. I got invited up to Manchester and I met a lot of them and saw the set, and it's amazing. And you had actors and they said, "Morning, can't stop, just learning my lines. I'm on screen in 5 minutes or something."
God. How they do it, I don't know. No. You know, it's, and you know, you really believe what they're telling you. It's not like it's made up. You actually believe that's something that's happening in the next town, and the town is Coronation or Weatherfield. It's very real.
I have an ambition to see you as a tough guy, either in a movie or on TV. Very un-Daniel O'Donnell like. Would you like
Imagine
to do that or not?
With
a hoodie or something.
You never know what I would do. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
It certainly would. I've never asked you about sport. Do you like sport or
I
not
like,
really?
I like the Irish football and the hurling. We've just had the All-Ireland hurling, Limerick won. And Dublin and Tyrone will take part in the All-Ireland football final. And they're great games, you know. We love them. I think hurling is maybe the fastest game in the world. It's fantastic.
Into football or not really?
Not so much. I mean, I love the World Cup because it's over quickly. Do you know what I mean? I can watch it. I find it very hard when I'm travelling to follow the Premiership, you know, so I just don't get into it. But I loved the World Cup. I watched almost every game, even though Ireland wasn't in it, and I was very disappointed. I was sure England were going to win. But I do believe if that team can be kept together, you know, and nurtured, it's the first real chance in years that you could see, yeah, this could be a reality.
I had a real scoop one day. I was lucky enough to interview George Best, and he was a special footballer, wasn't he?
Absolutely. And well, he was more than a footballer.
He was, yeah.
You know, he was iconic. He was bigger than what he did.
Mm.
And I suppose there are people who achieve a greater status than what their profession or what their ability would allow, and that's down to personality.
His funeral was quite amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and such a tragic life, and yet people never got annoyed with him. They were annoyed because he wasn't getting better, but people never seemed to give up on him, you know. And so tragic, a bit like Alex Higgins too, you know, that he, you know, didn't live to be old, you know, he was ill too for a while. And, well, they were loved. They were both Belfast boys, you know, and they were loved.
Just before you go, I know you've got a busy day, TV, radio. You've done a lot for charity over the years. You did a lot in Romania. And congratulations on that. I always appreciate people who are famous who put things back, which is wonderful, I think.
Well, again, that's a very privileged position, you know, because I think that you need to remember that so many people do a lot more than people like me. But because I have a platform, when I speak, my voice is much louder. You know, and I don't mean in power, I mean just in the amount of people that hear it. So, you know, there's people that work tirelessly day in, day out, and they raise a lot of money, but I suppose celebrity gives you the opportunity to reach a lot more people and raise money, not easier, but, you know, more rapidly.
Always a pleasure to meet you, to have coffee and share one of your chocolate bars. I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, you've eaten me at a house and
home. Yeah, I'm sorry, Daniel. Can I wish your career continued success? Great fun in America on the USA road trip. Sounds exciting, doesn't it?
We hope so.
And South Coast-wise, Portsmouth, the Guild Hall, October the 9th. And in a couple of minutes, I'm going to give out your complete British tour.
Thank you, John. And thanks to everybody listening, wherever you are. I hope you're well and we'll be travelling. I suppose you could be listening to this anywhere. We'll be in Australia in February, March, and we'll be in Branson in November and St. Catharines with loads of other people. Crystal Gale is there and Nathan Carter and Ronnie Kennedy is going with Nathan out to do a show, who used to work with me, and Nigel Connell and Chloe Agnew and loads of people. So it's lots of things coming up, and we'll be doing Christmas shows in Ireland in December as well.
We're in Southampton at the moment, and when I came over on the ferry about an hour ago, people said, "Where are you going today?" And I said, "Oh, Daniel O'Donnell." They all got excited. And, "What's he really like?" I said, "What you see is what you get. He's good on stage and he's really nice off stage." So,
well,
there you
that's
go.
It. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you, Daniel.
It's great. He's got a swell personality. He meets and greets the stars with such amenity. Good enough to make you coming out of the street. John Hannamy. That's right.
Grateful thanks as ever to Daniel O'Donnell. When we actually came down in the lift at the Novotel Southampton, I thought, gosh, thousands of ladies would have loved to have been in that lift with the wonderful Daniel O'Donnell. I did promise his British tour dates. Here they are. October the 1st, Liverpool Philharmonic. The 2nd, the City Hall, Hull. The 3rd, the Victoria Hall, Stoke. The 5th, the De Montfort Hall, Leicester. The 6th, the Corn Exchange, Cambridge. The 8th, St David's Hall, Cardiff. The 9th, Guildhall, Portsmouth. The 10th, the New Wimbledon Theatre. The 13th, the Caird Hall, Dundee. And finally, the Glasgow Concert Hall on October the 14th. You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.